Spent some time in the country, live from Ontario and heard around the world. Welcome to In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country with a music to fit. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told. Spend some time in the country, now it's time we start the show. And my heart has a history of hurting those who mean the most to me. Before you get too close to me, I think you ought to know.
This project is a gospel album entitled Just As I Am, featuring songs like I'll Fly Away, Amazing Grace, and When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. It's my pleasure to welcome Paul Brandt to the show. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing just great. It is so great to have you as part of the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. We've been having a lot of fun this last little while putting this new album out, and my travels actually ended up taking me back down to Nashville, where we recorded the album just this last week, and got a chance to go and hang out with some friends down in Nashville for CMA week, and it's great to have this project out and have people hearing it now.
I'll bet, and I've had a chance to listen to the album, and each version of the songs is just terrific. Now, I understand your start in music came from attending church back in the day, and in fact, the church you went to sang everything a cappella. There were no instruments.
That's true. You know, when I was about 6 years old, I started going to a church with my folks that was called the West Hillhurst Gospel Hall. There were about, I guess, about 75 people that attended that church. It was a pretty tiny little church, and there were no instruments that were played in the church. It was all a cappella music, and a lot of the songs that you would have heard had you walked into that church are the ones that were included on this project. And it's really where I cut my teeth on music and started to even learn that I had a voice, and that that was something that, you know, really moved me to get up on stage and to sing for people. And I really credit these songs, among so many other things, I credit them for being the songs that really got me into music in the first place.
Now, Paul, was it hard to choose from all the songs, the gospel songs that you love, to get it down to the final ones that are on the album?
You know, it was kind of tough because, you know, I love all these songs for different reasons. It's kind of like they're your kids. You know, you love them all the same, but, you know, you like different characters about them and different things about them. So I decided to let someone else make that decision for me, and I started asking my friends and relatives, people who I do business with a lot, and I just said, you know, if you were going to put an album like this together, what songs are the ones that you would have to hear? And
right.
I kept getting some, you know, pretty similar answers coming back. I think that this is a good taste of, you know, what I think are probably some of the most popular gospel songs that have ever been recorded.
And what is also great about the album, you've got some special guests on here that are just terrific, and our listeners will know them. Patti Loveless, Ricky Skaggs, The Whites, The Isaacs, John Randall Stewart, Dan Tominski, High Valley, of course, from Alberta, and your wife is on here as well. So we can probably understand how you got your wife to be on the album, but how did you round everybody else up?
Oh, man, you know, it was really an encouraging thing, honestly, to tell you, you know, when I started making phone calls and actually started getting some calls back. You know, I remember when I was getting my start, I was in talent competitions in Calgary, you know, where I live now, and one of those contests that I had won was I won tickets to go see Patti Loveless perform. And I went and saw Patti at a tiny place that was really popular at the time for seeing live music called the Silver Dollar Action Center. And it was a bowling alley, boxing arena, and a place where you could see live music. And I went up after the show after just being blown away by Patti's music, and I went up to get an autograph. And I stood there, and I had a demo CD or a demo tape, you know, that I put together, and I tried to give it to her, and her road manager or security guy or whatever wouldn't let me give any music to her. But it was about 6 months later, I'd signed a record deal, and I was opening a show for her down in Florida somewhere. And we just kind of hit it off. You know, that story, I think, really made us connect a bit. And when I called her up and asked if, asked her manager if maybe there'd be an opportunity for us to work together on this album, I didn't really know what to expect, and to get a call back from Patti. Sitting in my studio, phone rings, and, hey, Paul, it's Patti Loveless. I just about fell off my chair. But to get all these people to call back and show up at the studio and say they wanted to be a part of it was a huge honor and a thrill for me not only as an artist but as a country music fan.
And Patti sings on Amazing Grace. And when I was doing the reading on it, I've listened to the song, reading it, you talked about how she does a certain style of singing on this song.
Yeah, you know, Amory Gordy Jr., who, you know, is producing Patti but is also married to her, and a lot of hardcore, you know, bluegrass and country fans will know Emery's work. He's just right. The longest list, you know. And he was explaining to me as we were recording this that the style that Patti had chosen to record in was called old lining, and it's a kind of a call and answer sort of way of singing these old songs that was really popular and pretty, you know, normal to hear. In the Smokies and listening to, you know, bluegrass music and especially gospel music, and so that was kind of a bit of a neat history lesson for me. And I mean, when you listen to the results, I just think that they're spectacular. She did a great job.
But
And Amazing Grace is the first song I understand that you sang in front of a crowd. You were singing it at high school, and was that the first time you thought to yourself, maybe I could pursue this?
You know, it was kind of cool. I started to get, you know, attention from people, especially in high school, as I started getting more and more into music. And I didn't really know how to handle it at first. You know, it was kind of off-putting for me. I'm not naturally a person who likes to be in front of an audience very much. I remember when I first grabbed a microphone, it was at that little church, and they were coming across all the little kids that were in Sunday school. They passed the microphone between each of them to have them say a Bible verse, and when the microphone got to me, I shook my head and passed it to the next person. I was like, no, I can't do this. But I got into high school, got into music, and started getting attention from people. I picked Amazing Grace to sing at my high school graduation, and the response that I got from my friends and teachers, I think, really did encourage me to think that maybe this is something that I might be able to do in the future, you know, more for my career. So I got a lot of great encouragement from that.
And we're going to get to a song from the album, Just As I Am, in just a moment, featuring the great John Anderson. But I wanted to ask you about your influences. So some of the artists you grew up listening to, and of course I know that you have a great love of traditional country, so I'm sure some of the classic artists will appear on that list.
Yeah, you know, as I was coming up in music, you know, it was a little bit different, I think, than a lot of people. You know, mentioned that we didn't really play instruments in the church that I attended, but it went deeper than that. We didn't have a television until I was 13 years old. Weren't allowed to listen to the radio, and so it was a pretty limited group of people that I had the opportunity to choose from. But fortunately, you know, in my super rebellious ways, I was able to get out and hear some good stuff. Of course, I'm kind of kidding, tongue in cheek. I remember going over to my aunt's place, who had stacks and stacks of Elvis records in her basement, and I'd sneak down there and put on Elvis records. And among the, you know, the great music that I heard was some of the gospel recordings that he made, and that always made a big impact on me. As I moved to Nashville and kind of the floodgates musically were opened, I found that the people that I gravitated towards from a country standpoint were quite traditional. You know, Patti Loveless, I have, you know, not just because she's on this album, she's always been my favorite country vocalist on the female side. And I don't think anyone can do what she does the way that she does it. It's incredible. I also really started to get into Johnny Cash's music, and as I was more exposed to, you know, some of the new traditionalists as well, you know, people like Clint Black and Alan Jackson that, I really took a lot from, I think. And I've always, you know, I've always been a huge Garth fan, especially the early years of Garth. It was something that really influenced me musically as well.
And to prove how much those classics sort of resonated with you, you've covered a few of them over the years to great results. Convoy, the great C.W. McCall song, and Red Simpson's Highway Patrol more recently. It's so great to hear you cover the classics. Is that something you enjoy doing to sort of, because you're introducing those to younger fans who may never have heard the originals?
Yeah, you know, when I first started, part of the idea, you know, when I was working with Warner Reprise Records before we left that label and started our own, dealing with the label and talking with them about which songs to put on an album, they always had suggested that it was a good idea to put a classic on there. And the first album that we put out on Warner Brothers was the Calm Before the Storm album that had My Heart Has a History and I Do on it. And we also recorded Pass Me By, If You're Only Passing Through, and I kind of modeled it after the Johnny Rodriguez cut. I found that, you know, in doing that, it gave me a bridge opportunity with fans that maybe had listened only to the classics or came up with that music, and allowed me to, you know, be a bit edgy on some of my other stuff, but still also pay homage to the things that made country music great and make it great today. And honestly, that's one of the reasons that I put this album out. I really think that gospel music is such an integral part of where country music has come from and a part of our roots and our history. And it used to be quite normal for artists to put out an entire album of gospel music, and I don't know when that started to change, but I'm really proud that I had the opportunity to do this, not only because it says a lot about the things that I feel are important from a belief standpoint, but I also think that it really speaks about where country music has come from, not only the sounds, but also the heart.
Now, the song I'll Fly Away, which you're going to play in a moment, you performed this on the CCMA Awards this past September. It was a great performance, and on this track that we're going to share, which is off the album, you're joined by John Anderson, and the two of your voices go really well together. How did you get John Anderson or find John Anderson for this particular song?
Oh, you know, the producer of this project, his name is Gordon Mote. He's one of the co-producers on this, and Gordon, a lot of gospel fans will know Gordon's name as a piano for a group called the Gaithers, and he's also one of the most sought-after session players in Nashville. He plays on pretty much every record that you listen to and is an artist as well. And I called him up and said, hey, is there any connection that you might have with John Anderson? Because I hadn't met him before. But if my dad had to pick one person he likes listening to more than me, he would go with John Anderson. In fact, you know, I'm pretty sure that maybe he's at the very top of the list. And so I thought it'd be really fun to get him. I've always loved his voice and his artistry. And I think that John was maybe getting a bit nervous with me being in the studio because I was just a total fan. I was, you know, videotaping him with my iPhone and peering through the glass while he was singing. I think I may have creeped him out a bit, but I'll tell you, he's the real deal. It was an honor to get a chance to work with him.
Yeah, I mean, so many classic songs he did. The one that I remember the most is Swingin', which is such a great song.
Yeah, you know, Swingin' is amazing, Old Chunk of Coal, and I think, you know, even in his, you know, kind of comeback album with songs like Seminole Wind and Straight Tequila Night, you know, he has a sound again that no one else can copy, and it was as a music fan, it was pretty neat to get to just see him do his thing. You know, there really wasn't much else that we had to do. He walked in, we set up a microphone, and he just laid down some brilliant stuff, and I think it really comes through on this track.
Let's take a listen to that now. This is Paul Brandt along with John Anderson, and it's called I'll Fly Away here on In the Country. A great song from two great voices. That is my guest, Paul Brandt, along with John Anderson, I'll Fly Away. The album is called Just As I Am, and you can get more details on it at paulbrandt.com, or you can purchase it through iTunes. You've had a lot of meaningful songs. Of course, the gospel songs are meaningful, but you've also had songs like Risk, Home, I Meant to Do That. How important is it for you, Paul, to have songs that have a positive impact and even change lives?
You know, that's always really been front and center, you know, since I started back in 96. When I started in music, it was a bit of a departure for me from a plan that I had been pursuing. I wanted to be a doctor, and my hope was that I'd have the opportunity to be a pediatrician someday. I really enjoy working with kids. I had always felt like maybe if you could help a kid get better, you'd give them a second chance at life. And I started working as an RN at the Alberta Children's Hospital, and always loved the way that I was able to use my job and the skills that I'd learned to be able to help people. I saw that a lot in example from my parents. My dad's a paramedic, and my mom's an RN as well. And so when I got a job offer the same week that I got a record deal contract, I got a job offer in ICU and then a record deal, you know, offer in the same time. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot and just see what happens. But I was a little concerned that I might, you know, have to lose that that difference-making part of what I was doing. And it turned out to be the opposite. You know, I've been very blessed to have the opportunity to make music and have a platform that can raise funds and awareness for different causes. We've recently started our own foundation as well. And whether it's helping people escape and just taking the stress level down and having a good time, or actually, you know, changing the course of their lives by building them a house or by providing clean drinking water, food and shelter, those things really keep me going every single day. And I love that part of what I get to do.
It sounds great, and all your fans, myself included, love the songs. That really can motivate us and want us to make changes in our lives. Paul, is there anybody yet in the music business, country or other genre, that you haven't met yet that's kind of on your list to meet one day, and maybe you might even be a little bit nervous about meeting them?
You know, I've thought about that, and you know, I don't generally get too nervous when I'm around people in this profession, because I kind of feel like I know what they do and what they go through. But there are a couple people that, you know, I think I probably would get butterflies if I knew I was going to have a chance to meet them. You know, I mentioned earlier that I'd always been a huge Garth Brooks fan, and I think that the nervousness would maybe more come from the fact that he may have seen a YouTube video or two of me impersonating him rather than, you know, just the fact that it's Garth Brooks. You know, I might make it a bit awkward, but I really am a huge fan of his. And I think just, you know, from, you know, the perspective of other genres, I've always been a big fan of U2. I think that the social consciousness that Bono walks through, you know, in his life, you know, with his music, is something that I've always tried to emulate or model in a way, and I think that I'd probably get a little bit nervous getting the opportunity to talk to him as well.
What about duets? Is there an artist out there, Paul, from, again, a country or another genre, that you think your voices could go well together if you got in the studio and did a duet together?
You know, I've always been on the female side, you know, other than Patty, I've always been a huge fan of Martina McBride's. I think that she's just got a powerhouse voice, and I think that it'd be really fun. You know, every chance I've had to meet Martina, she's been, you know, super sweet and just a really cool person, and I think that would be great. I'm also a big fan of Carrie Underwood's, and think that, you know, of the women singing today, she just has an incredible powerhouse voice, and I think that it would be a kind of a cool moment if we ever had the opportunity to do something together. It's hard to pick. I mean, there are a lot of great singers out there, but those would definitely be the first couple that would come to mind.
Nice. Now, on the subject of songwriting, you have written just about all your songs, and you're a prolific songwriter. How early did it start for you? What age were you writing songs, and was it something that took a while to get the hang of, or do you feel you were pretty good at it right off the start?
You know, it's almost like an addiction, writing, in a lot of ways. You know, I've heard people say that to be great at writing, you have to be a great observer of life. And it was a lot easier to write in my early days, you know, before the music really started to take off, before we had the success that we've had, and honestly, before I started having kids. I mean, time was something that I had a lot more of than I do now, and it's challenging sometimes because you'll get an idea and you'll have to scribble it down and then come back to it later. And writing from that just pure moment of inspiration is something that I have to schedule now, which is a little bit more difficult. But writing has always come easily for me. I think it had a lot to do with that little church room that I grew up in that I described that really inspired this album. We would listen to the King James Bible being preached from a very, very early age, and the speakers would break the words down into the original texts, and I got really into trying to understand the meaning of words and started writing poetry from the time I was probably about 8 years old. And then when I finally picked up a guitar at 13, it came together sounding a lot more like country than anything else when I matched that music with the lyrics that I had been writing or the poems I'd been writing, and it's just been nonstop since then.
Do you have a song of yours, Paul, to date that you're most proud of?
You know, it's hard to pick. They all kind of bring up new different memories and different ideas that were all quite special. One that I think
sure.
few people know about that I think I'm probably the most proud of as a songwriter was a song that I didn't record myself. I haven't had a lot of other people record my music, and at that point there was maybe only one other person who'd ever recorded one of my songs. And I was asked to come to a screening of a film called We Were Soldiers that Mel Gibson was in and also produced. And we were asked to screen the movie and then write a song that we'd be inspired to write by the movie. And we wrote this song with me and a friend of mine named Steve Rosen and turned it in on the very last possible day, this demo that we'd done in his basement. One of my favorite memories of doing that demo was that a lady came into that little basement room and sprayed for cockroaches while I was recording the track for the demo. I mean, we were like in our dungeon, you know. And I turned this thing in, and we got a call back 15 minutes later, and they said, well, you guys did it. And we're like, what are you talking about? They said, Johnny Cash and Dave Matthews are going to do a duet of this song that you wrote. And it just blew my mind. You know, it was one of the coolest moments as a songwriter. You know, being big fans of both, but as a country music artist, to know that you know, it would go down in history, that one of the last songs that Johnny Cash recorded was a song that I wrote with my friend. That was a very special moment for me, and I'm really proud of the way that turned out.
What an awesome story. I love it. Let's talk about Ricky Skaggs. He is on the album, and I know that you guys go back a ways. What can you tell us about Ricky Skaggs as a person and working with him?
Now, Ricky is a real unassuming guy. You know, when you think about you know, what he's accomplished and how long he's done that for, you know, right from a very early age, he's been a prodigy and somebody that you know, has just excelled at his art, and I think he's done a really great job of you know, maintaining just the credibility of what he does through the years, and you know, when you think about bluegrass, you think about Ricky Skaggs. I mean, he's, I think, in a lot of ways become the modern Bill Monroe, and it really picked up a lot of those traditions and carried them on to the next generation. But has always also kept a foot in country, was always super encouraging to me in every opportunity that I had to perform with him, playing with him on a song that I had on my first album called Take It From Me on the Ryman stage on a Tuesday night concert series that he used to host there. It was a huge thrill. And I was really pleased that he decided to come and join us on this new project.
I'm going to play another song from the album. It's called Just As I Am, available on iTunes. You can also visit paulbrandt.com. And on this song, you're joined by High Valley, which is from your home province of Alberta. And the song is called When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. What can you tell us about the song and, of course, working with High Valley?
Well, you know, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I think, is maybe one of the second most popular gospel songs, that next to I'll Fly Away. It's one that I think most people have heard, and it's got a lot of energy. The way that we recorded this, we wanted to try and make it as lively as possible. We recorded all of the songs on this album, having the musicians play live off the floor. We put them in a sanctuary of an old church that is now a studio on Music Row. And normally you would separate all the musicians and put them in separate rooms to capture their performances and then go back and fix things if you needed to. We didn't want to give them a chance to fix anything. We wanted to catch that live moment. And most of these recordings are the initial try at it, and I think they were just brilliant in the way they did it. High Valley, I heard a demo tape of theirs back, it must have been probably 7 years ago at a CCMA event, and was blown away. and I had the opportunity to meet them and produce a couple songs for them and write with them a number of times. They've become great friends. We've toured together over the years, and their roots are very similar to mine, so it seemed like a real natural thing to have them be a part of this project.
Let's share that song now, Paul Brandt and High Valley, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder on In the Country.
When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more.
Is called up yonder. That is Paul Brandt and High Valley here on In the Country. The name of the album is Just As I Am. You can get it through iTunes. You can also head to paulbrandt.com. Will you start adding these songs into some of your shows, Paul?
Yeah, you know, we're actually putting plans together right now to get out on the road and tour this album specifically, and we're hoping that we'll be making an announcement on that very soon of where we'll be. We're shooting for spring at the beginning of the year, and I'm really excited about sharing this music live with everybody. And honestly, it's really kind of, as a musician, pushed me. This music is a departure for me, and the fact that it was recorded more in a bluegrass kind of style, not strictly pure bluegrass, but moving in more in that direction, it definitely pushes me to learn new things on the guitar musically, and maybe even try different instruments, and I think that's going to make it a lot of fun out on the road when we finally take off to start playing it.
Could you see yourself doing a complete bluegrass album down the road?
I have a feeling that there may be a little bit more back and forthing between these styles, or maybe even just using some of these sounds in more of our mainstream country stuff that we're doing. It definitely got the creative wheels turning. You know, for me, when I write, this can be an expensive habit, because every time I pick up a new guitar, it's almost like getting a new voice to play with. And I found that getting to record with these musicians and hear these instruments, spotlighted in this way, it got those wheels turning a little bit, and definitely gave me a bit of a new muse.
That's interesting. So do you have certain guitars, and do you look at them and say, well, that's the one I wrote My Heart Has a History on, that's the one I wrote I Do on? Do you sort of keep track in that way?
Yeah, you know, you kind of, you know, I've heard some people say that when you get a new instrument, you know, it has a certain number of songs in it, and I always thought it was kind of a neat idea. There are some guitars that are just really special that way that I've got in my collection that you pick it up and it's like a flood of memories comes back and you're like, yeah, this is the one. You know, I remember when I wrote My Heart Has a History with Mark D. Sanders in Nashville, and you know, I can see it as clear as day. We're writing away. He had to get up and leave for a moment, and I heard a bunch of noise going on in the room next door. It sounded like someone was playing the radio. And I was holding one of my guitars, one of my favorites, my Taylor guitar at that time, and I was about to smash on the wall to let them know they needed to keep it down in that next room because I was writing a song. And I listened a little bit more closely to realize it was actually Reba. She was in the room next door rehearsing, and it's probably a good thing I didn't smash on the wall. That would have been a bad introduction, but that was definitely one of those moments I'll never forget.
That's amazing. When you had finished that song and maybe even recorded it, did you have a feeling that it would do as well as it did? Hard to tell, I know.
Yeah, you know, it always is hard to tell, and I don't think you ever know. I mean, you have high hopes. You know, when I think about, you know, that question, and I think about it in relation to I Do, the wedding song and my first number one song, it was a song I wrote for a friend of mine who was getting married, and I scribbled it down on a piece of paper the night before, went and played it at the wedding. I liked the way it turned out and hoped that she thought it was special, and then I put it in a pile of songs and kind of forgot about it. And it wasn't until about a year later I had a record deal, and the label asked me, they said, you know, are there any other songs that you haven't played for us yet that you think we might enjoy? And I pulled that one out and played it for them, and they just about hit the floor. They were so excited about the song. And it would have ended up being forgotten if they hadn't asked that question. So it doesn't always stick in my head right away that, yeah, this is definitely a hit. But I found over the years that when I play my music, especially for kids, there's something about kids, you know, in the age of, you know, maybe 2 to 5, where they're really starting to kind of get an ear for music, and they have a really great radar for things that are going to be really popular. And I think maybe it's because there's just such an innocence there and such a connection directly with the music. If I ever have played my music for my nephews or nieces or even for my kids now, the ones they like the most are usually the ones that are going to be big hits.
Interesting. That's a good judge to have.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I hope that doesn't mean that songwriters around the world are going to, you know, start having to employ children to tell them whether their songs are hits or not. But it's definitely something I've noticed.
That is very cool. Now, you spent a lot of your career in Nashville, and you've moved back to Alberta since and have written the song Alberta Bound, which is beautiful. How do you like it being back home?
You know, it's good. I think that being in Calgary we're just outside of Calgary has really accomplished a lot of, you know, big goals that Liz and I, my wife Liz and I, have had for our lives. You know, we're here and have started a family now. We always wanted to raise our kids with their roots here in Alberta. And our families are around, and we get to spend more time with them. I love to fly fish, and I love the outdoors, and there's something about being close to the Rocky Mountains that just really lends itself to that kind of lifestyle. And at the same time, I've felt, and maybe it's recently, I don't know, but I've felt more of, and more of a calling back to Nashville. And we're going to be spending more time there, I think, in the next few years, just being back and forth between the two places. There's a real great spirit in the community there from a creative standpoint that I've missed since I've been back to Alberta. And I'm fortunate that I can kind of, you know, make my life work so that I can have a bit of both. And we've got a lot of great friends there. So I'm looking forward to, you know, spending a little bit more time in Nashville. But I know that deep in my heart, I'll always be Alberta bound. You know, to be able to be based in Canada and based where I was born in Alberta is really important to me. Thank you for taking the time and you know, helping me get this new music out there. I really appreciate it.
It has been my pleasure. My guest today has been country artist Paul Brandt. Great album. You can check it out at paulbrandt.com or on iTunes. I'm Dave Woods. It's been another big time in the country.
Sunset, 40 miles to Canada, my truck. tore across Montana. Ian Tyson sang a lonesome lullaby. And so I cranked up the radio, 'cause there's just a little more to go before I cross the border at that sweet grass sign. I'm Alberta bound, it feeds the heaven that I found. Rocky Mountains and black fertile ground. Everything I need beneath that big blue sky. It doesn't matter where I go, this place will always be my home. Yeah, I've been Alberta bound for all my life, and I'll be Alberta bound till I die. It's a pride that's been passed down to me, deep as coal mines, wide as farmers' fields. Yeah, I've got independence in my veins. Maybe it's my down-home redneck roots or these dusty old Alberta boots, but like the Chinook wind keeps coming back again.
Bird of mine.